I'm glad you all are here and others listening by tape. The schedule says, Courtship, Our Story, Beal and Bloom Families. So I'll be the first one to represent the Beal family. My wife Linda is here, and Mrs. Bloom and their second daughter Katie is here, and our son Aaron here. As my children know, I enjoy telling a good story. And usually I get it right. So when my children are around, sometimes they'll help me out with anything that I've missed. Let me begin by praying. So we'll pray together. Lord God, we are grateful that you direct our steps. And thank you that as you give us families to be in, to have a place of learning what it means to be a follower of you in the context of close relationships, that you call together a young man and a young woman to be those to begin a new family for your glory, for your purposes. And I pray as our family share a bit today of our story that we would glorify you and encourage others in their walks with you. So we praise you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. The thing I would like to say mostly about the whole idea of courtship is not about a young man and a young woman getting married. Courtship is about two families that God, over time, brings together out of them, a young man and a young woman, who get married. So it's about two families. The story is much bigger than what Josh and Karen could tell about what happened to them and in them that brought them together to be man and wife a year ago, and to be mother and father holding mother and baby in about 6 weeks, we believe. So that's pretty exciting. 6 weeks and 5 days? 5 weeks. Okay, some people are counting, and they should be. I should be. So to tell the story of Josh and Karen really would take a series of people to come by, and so we're going to do that at least a little bit. So in the back, Elijah, if you could get a microphone ready, because we'll have some people that will need to say something either by coming to the front or from where they are seated. I'm looking at the mother of the bride and the mother of the groom in particular, and also a young man and a young lady who spoke at the wedding also. So we'll see if they'll be able to share something. But I get to tell the beginning of the story, the first part, from my perspective, the father of a young man. Josh now is 23, and when he was about 15, well, it goes back longer than that. That's how far back should we go? Oh, we'll go back further. From time to time, when our children were little, I'd heard speakers talk about praying with your little children, or with a young child, about their future spouse. It's likely that most people will marry. Not everyone does, but it's likely. And if a child is even only 7 or 8 years old, you know, old enough to understand the idea of perhaps getting married someday, it's likely that that young child's future spouse is alive somewhere in the world at that time. And so I think I have, with each of the children from time to time, prayed with them when they were real little, prayed with them for their future spouse, who is probably somewhere in the world today. So let's pray for that future spouse, wherever they are. So that's kind of planting the seed that, you know what, God's in charge. In fact, God's the one that's going to have to bring us together and involve the parents. Well, when Josh was about 15, our firstborn, our oldest, we had heard Josh Harris traveling and speaking. He's the guy that's famous for writing the book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. My son Josh, he read the book. I read the title, and I got the idea from just reading the title. And Josh basically said to me, he said, Dad, I want to do this. Would you help hold me accountable? I'm like, this is amazing, because it's just so radically different than what's going on in our world. So from 15 on, though he was a handsome young man and young ladies were naturally turn toward him to have, you know, wondered if he would have an interest toward them, he initiated, for the most part, with no one. There were some fits and starts along the way, but God was faithful and preserved him as a young man, preserved him in his purity, which is part of what we talked about, is that that's what is to be brought to the marriage bed, purity. And so that was part of the whole package of kissing, dating, goodbye. But time went on, and we made about 4 years ago, we made a pretty dramatic change in our family. I guess 5 years ago, it really began. As our kids were growing up, we kind of were concerned about, well, the challenge we found in parenting wasn't the world so much as in, you know, the families of the world around us, our neighbors or whatever. But the greatest challenge seemed to be other Christian families where we didn't have necessarily the same values and standards of what we saw as worldliness in our homes. And that was a big challenge for us. And so when it got into the teen years and kind of the norms that are even in most churches of the dating scene and the way guys and girls relate, there are some challenges there and for our family. But Josh still, you know, was holding to the principle of not to initiate towards any young lady in any special way. I mean, he had friends that were guys and girls, that, you know, in church especially, but there was no one singled out in any way. Friends towards all, singling out no one. But about 3 years ago, Josh came to me and said, "Dad, there's a young lady in the church. I'd like to talk to her father about courtship." Well, let me give you the context 3 years ago of what was going on in Josh's life. Josh, we'd asked him not to go away to college, but to use an accelerated distance learning method, which involved studying a stack of textbooks in a week and taking a test at the end of the week and getting 3 or 6 credits, depending on what it was. He had started a business with his brother Aaron, Heraldic Enterprises, a website design and application business. They were learning a lot. It was kind of like a homeschool project that had grown into a little bit of a moneymaker. They were learning and getting paid for it as well. So Josh was doing that. In our home, Josh had developed to a place, this is exciting as parents, that from time to time, Linda and I, my wife and I, we would go to Josh and say, "Josh, you know, we've got some questions or things we're thinking about or dealing with one of the other children. You know, you've recently come through kind of their age or situation. We'd like to get your thoughts and feedback and insight." Looking back, we can see that was, in many ways, the last stage of at-home discipleship before Josh was launched out of our home, of involving him in parenting issues with some of the other children, you know, privately, discreetly. He was, as a firstborn, was wonderful and very insightful in the things he was doing. So Josh was very busy working with his business. He was working for another computer company, learning things there, working on finishing his college degree. Had a lot of energy going into a lot of things. And so this is what I told him 3 years ago when he came to me about this young lady at the church. I said, "Josh, not now, not yet. Get your college degree first. This will be a next stage in your life, but not yet." I knew it was going to be about a year, and he knew as well it would be about a year until he finished that college degree. So I put a little bit of a timetable on it. So a year goes by, and I found out later that in that year, he prayed literally every day for this young lady in the church, Karen. And from time to time, just on his own initiative and not telling anyone, and we just found out about this later, he would pray and fast, for Karen and her best. And what he was actually praying was that God would bring the best young man in the world to Karen. And he prayed, "Lord, I hope it would be me. But even if it's not, Lord, bring the best young man in the world to this young lady." So the year goes by. Now we're talking about 2 years ago from now. He got his college degree. And the way I tell the story, and this is kind of, Josh doesn't remember it all the same, but I'm sure he had a lot of emotions and things going on in his head, because I knew about the timetable. Okay, the college degree is going to, he got it, he nailed it, did well, and then came to me and kind of, you know, with a smile, "Okay, Dad." And this is what I said to him. I said, "Okay, Josh, this is how it's going to work. You're going to be looking for a series of green lights. Now, you're going to get the first one from me now. You know, you've waited a year, basically. You've waited a year, and now I'll go and I'll speak to Mr. Bloom, and I'll ask him for permission for you to speak to him about Karen." So that Sunday at church, Linda and I went to Bill and Marcy Bloom, and after church, kind of, you know, folks standing around the foyer, we kind of got them off to the side and said to them that Josh, our son Josh, would like to speak to you about one of your daughters. Bill and Marcy have 4 daughters. 2, I would say, were marrying age at that time. And then they have 4 sons after those 4 daughters. Pretty remarkable family. I thought I'd leave it to Josh to tell them exactly which daughter, though I think they knew. Though Josh had, he'd really done the honorable thing. We were very, very pleased in that he had done nothing to indicate to Karen that he was interested in pursuing her, except talk to the Lord for a year. And then reinitiate with his parents, with me in particular. And once he got the green light from me, it was like, you know, the pass off. Then the month began, what turned out to be a month. That was just an amazing thing. And by the way, we're telling our story. We're not so much saying, okay, do exactly A, B, C. But I think you can see some patterns and draw applications for your own family. I will interject this. A week or so ago, we were on a trip and we had been put in contact with a family that had done some courtship with 4 daughters, 4 now married daughters, all in their mid to late 20s. And so in speaking to the father, Tom McMinn, I said, "Tom, you know, so how was it, you know, these four daughters in courtship?" He said, "It was different in every case." And, "Oh, wow, that's interesting." And what was basically different wasn't different on his end so much as was different with the various men who had come to pursue in sequence his four daughters. And I thought, that's very interesting. So I want to be cautious about kind of telling our story and inviting others, the Beals and the Blooms, as we share our story. Be blessed, be encouraged, and go to the Lord for what circumstances that you're in and what patterns that you'll want to find. The basic pattern would be to honor godliness throughout and honor one another's authority over our own children. And that's what Josh was doing. He was under our authority until I released him to approach the jurisdiction of the Bloom family's authority, meaning Mr. Bloom. So this is how I would tell the story of what happened from there. Josh calls Mr. Bloom and lets him know that he's interested in one of his daughters. And Josh had written a letter that expressed his heart and how he'd been praying for Karen and why, you know, things he'd observed in Karen, godly things, and why he was interested in pursuing her to be his wife if the Lord would allow such a thing. Mr. Bloom took that and also developed some other questions in conversation with Josh, that he asked Josh to answer these questions and put the answers in writing in some cases. Questions like your view on parenting, view on children, your purpose in life, view on supporting a family. Just a whole variety of things that any father would want to have all these bases covered for a daughter that you love and care for. So several times through what turned out to be about a period of a month, Josh met with Mr. Bloom and on occasion Mrs. Bloom, Marcy, as well. So we'll give her a chance to share a few thoughts in a few moments, especially to correct any factual errors that I have. I'm just kind of telling the sense of what I was observing from my standpoint. But a funny thing that did happen towards the end of that month, Bill and Marcy, as they look to our pastoral leadership, Gary and Sally Cox. Gary and Sally have 10 children. The oldest two are married and have done courtship in specific ways. So that's someone who's a little bit down the road ahead of us. And so Bill and Marcy met with Gary and Sally, and you know, they basically asked, you know, "Here's what we've done. Have we missed anything? Is this okay?" And Gary, in his wonderful humor, told them, "Well, I see as you've asked Josh some questions and gotten some answers in writing. Well, here's what you need to do. You need to ask him at least 10 more questions, a dozen more questions. Get those answers in writing. Then you take all those answers, put it together in a book, and publish it. And then you're going to be rich." And then Gary said, "Well, no, what you've done is fine." But I thought about that since I heard that recounting. I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to take their answers and, you know, put them together, actually in a booklet. I have a friend who says most books should be booklets. That way it's more accessible to more people. So it is our family vision, our families together, to kind of write a booklet that tells the story, in our case, of Josh and Karen's courtship and marriage, and tells it from the multiple perspectives of the various family members. You know, father of the groom, mother of the groom, father of the bride, mother of the bride, siblings of the groom, siblings of the bride, that kind of thing, and share a little bit about our story and how it went along. The PowerPoint. This title page is just the title page from my friend Tom McMinn. He goes around, gives seminars on courtship. So this is his title page, but I slipped in our pictures. So I want to show you a few pictures here. This courtship, it works. That is Josh and Karen before their first kiss. This is Tom's definition. I thought this is thorough and helpful. So let me share this with you. What is courtship? Activities consistent with biblical values comprising the emotional, intellectual, and spiritual relationship of a man, woman, and their parents designed to lead to marriage. So activities consistent with biblical values. So that's the backdrop. Always asking the question, what would honor the Lord? And there's much defrauding in our culture today between young men, young women. So being consistent with biblical values. And then there's two sets of trilogies here comprising three things: emotional, intellectual, and spiritual relationship. So that's who we are. We're emotional, how we feel, intellectual, what we think, but ultimately our spirit. That's what's going to last forever, who we really are. So our emotional, intellectual, and spiritual relationship. So, you know, the world system, the kind of the whole dating motif is heavy on the emotional side. Well, we want to just get a proper biblical balance, move towards that. So that's the first trilogy. The second trilogy is there's three groups, a man, a woman, and their parents. So it's two people and then all the others, if you will. And all the others being the parents and I would also add here families. Well, what we have here is just a series of pictures. And I'm sorry you won't hear this on the tape. But in short, courtship is a family affair. That's a little saying I made up. So this is on the wedding day, the two families, Karen, and then to her right, your left. It's her mom and dad and all her siblings. And then there's Josh, and then to his left, your right, it's Linda and I, and then our three children, Joshua's siblings. So in short, courtship is a family affair. Now, at a wedding, normally, this is the picture that is taken. This is the wedding party, and it involves not only all the siblings of Josh and Karen, but also numerous of friends, especially since Karen had so many siblings, we had to fill out the guy side a little bit. So it was a delight to have everyone who's involved. I'm going to go through and kind of go in a little bit of reverse chronology. A courtship is two families coming together at the initiative, basically, of a young man. Now, the young man in this case, of course, is Josh. And Josh, when he came to me, he said, there's a young lady in the church. This is when I gave him a year. I told him, wait a year. There's a young lady in the church. I'd like to talk to her father about courtship. Well, this was obviously a family I knew. And boy, I was grinning when Josh told me. And I was encouraged and thrilled. We knew that family. And I would say during that period of time in our lives, we were doing something that I might call family dating. Rather than sending our children out, go have dates, go meet young people, go off by yourselves, and we'll trust you. You're not really human, No, we had a different thought. And that is, why doesn't our family get together with other families? Not always one family, so it wasn't like we always did stuff only with the Blooms. No, we did things with many families. And that gave us a context for our young people, our children who were approaching the marrying age, to be around other young people that were approaching the marrying age, but not have the emotional entanglements that might often be there, or at least not need to have it. It could still happen, I suppose, and we've observed and experienced different ways. But the basic idea of looking around for other families of like-mindedness, seeking to follow wholeheartedly after the Lord, and just looking to spend time together, planning time together. Now that initiative falls to the father, not to the young man. So I was acting not only out of a desire to have my family blessed, but being aware that, our children are likely to grow up and get married someday. And what kind of person would we want them to marry? Well, let's meet some families. And so we were going around meeting a lot of families, mostly in our church, in fact. But we have kind of a wide array of relationships because of the ministry we're in. But courtship begins, courtship is a picture of it, really could be summarized with this idea of two families coming together. So this picture, one thing I find interesting about it, if you were to look at just this picture and not know who's courting who, you couldn't tell. You might be able to tell, okay, these two must be the parents. I see they're sitting close and touching. And Josh and Karen are actually, the courtship has begun in this picture. But they made a decision, and we certainly affirmed it, to not hold hands, obviously not kiss. I mean, that's more closeness than holding hands. And in fact, to not even be alone together until they were married. Now that, we didn't assign that to them per se, but we were thrilled with their eagerness in that direction. I would say at least they were very eager on the front end. As the months wore on, the eagerness diminished, but they held to it. And so now let me get to some important pictures. This is at the wedding, of the first aspect, father giving away the bride. And everyone's familiar with that, so that's Mr. Bloom handing Karen's hand to Joshua. Michael Denton there leading in a hymn, and that's me standing up as if I'm the preacher. But what happened next, in these two pictures you can see, Bill and I are standing side by side. Sometimes he was speaking, sometimes I was speaking. In other words, two fathers performed the wedding. And I'd never seen that before. It was Josh and Karen's idea, or maybe others as well, but it was quite a powerful thing. An outdoor wedding, as you can see in the backdrop in this picture. In this particular picture, I wanted to pause here on this one. This is, I'm pretty sure this is the moments when Bill is explaining what he did with each of his daughters, I believe at age 13. Can I get a nod from the audience? Yes. Or a nod from Mrs. Bloom, the one who counts. At age 13, Bill went to took out each of his daughters in a special way and gave them a heart with a key, a little necklace thing, and talked about that he would hold the key to their heart and protect them and guard them until such time their heart would be given to a young man in marriage. Now, a 13-year-old girl, that's like, ooh, my, that's a long ways away probably, but that is special. That is remarkable. So in the wedding, you know, now Karen's, it's like 10 years later, and Bill's explaining what he had done 10 years earlier and how Karen, you know, he had guarded her heart and her purity. And now is the time where the key was going to be given to Josh, the heart. As Bill explained it was holy. It was precious. It was holiness unto the Lord. And I actually had the next lines. We went back and forth on things. And I don't remember what I was supposed to say next. Just in the moments, I said just out loud, this is a holy moment. It really was a powerful and precious moment, honoring to the Lord. There were many homeschool families there, and they came because they knew the story so far of Josh and Karen. So, yes, indeed, this picture shows it was an outdoor wedding. Here it is. You can see a little bit more of the crowd in the wedding with Josh and Karen standing up front. At the very end, before the first kiss, Pastor Gary Cox came up to just give a benediction. But indeed, the wedding was performed by the father. The fathers of the bride and groom, which I think was pretty special. And I love this picture because this is the first kiss. Not only the first kiss of their married life, but the first kiss of their life. The first romantic kiss. In other words, I'm excluding like, you know, a mom-dad kiss. You know, that doesn't count. But this is the first romantic kiss of their life. They both long before they knew each other, made commitments to one another. And that is an amazing thing. And that's how courtship starts. That the commitment is made long before you know the person who will be your future spouse. And you can see everybody around grinning. Pastor Cox there grinning, I'm grinning. Bill is standing behind on the other side of Karen in this picture, so you can't see him, but we're all grinning. It's like, this is amazing. This is precious. And Karen has four little brothers, and the two youngest are in the bottom part of this picture. And Josiah, the very youngest, he'd gotten tired of standing, so he had gone and sat in the front row with his mom. And, you know, the procession is about to process out. And so he'd been kind of encouraged, you know, go back, stand in your place. And so he's walking past just as they begin to kiss. And he looks up. And he's never seen anybody do that to Karen. So what is Josh doing? But they enjoyed the first kiss. And this, I think this is the last picture I put in here. I thought this was pretty special. And most of the people in this picture are in this room. This is Aaron. He was the best man, Josh's next oldest brother, our number two son, our son that has grown taller than his older brother. So we get a kick out of that. And he's given the blessing as the best man. And Katie's there on the left in the yellow, kind of looking down and somber because, well, maybe not somber, but thoughtful because she's next. And she also gave a blessing. And between Katie and Aaron, you can see Bill and Marcy. Marcy there in the front and Bill right behind her. And Linda's there off the shoulder of Aaron. Linda's here with us as well. And just where the angle of the picture is, I happen to be standing right behind Aaron in this picture. I think that's the last one I put up here. Yeah, so that's the last one. I think I'm going to pause there and give an opportunity for additional thoughts. So that microphone, did it make its way up here? Okay. I think I'm going to ask Mrs. Bloom, would you be the first one to add some thoughts? And we can do this in a conversational way. In other words, it's not like you get 1 minute and that's it. It's like, you know, we have about 15 or 20 minutes and several of us can share several things. So the courtship of Josh and Karen from the perspective of the mother of the bride.
One thing, the letter that you mentioned that Josh had written up for Bill. Josh was also interviewing for a job the same day that he was interviewing with Bill for Karen. And he said he knew he had the job ace, but he was worried about the interview with Bill. But he gave the letter to Bill after their meeting. He gave it to him at the end. And it was really funny because he had written that up before he'd met with Bill, and he had answered all of Bill's questions in that letter. Usually, Karen had several young men come to her father, and as the gatekeeper, he had several questions for them. One of which, you know, can you support my daughter? But the first and most important was, you know, has the Lord led you to the point that you know that Karen is the young woman that he has for you? he didn't have to ask Josh. Josh told him. So that was just real interesting. All the other young men went away disappointed because they didn't know. They were just kind of, as Bill puts it, they were on a fishing expedition. But just to see if she might be the one. So, and it was interesting. The Lord had guarded Karen's heart for a while. She did not take any notice of Josh, if even to the point of like thinking that I wouldn't even think about him if I was going to think about somebody, until just several months before he did approach her dad. And then she started seeing some of his admirable qualities, but then kept thinking, like, she just kept guarding her heart against that.
Wow.
So,
keep the mic. I have a couple other thoughts I'd like you to touch on. First of all, I collect quotes, so I've got one from you now, and that is, courtship is not a fishing expedition. And so you'd experience that, and I can see how a young man just wanted to see, and so that's in some ways that might be putting the label of courtship on what really is kind of a looking for a dating opportunity. Mm-hmm. So courtship is when a young person is ready to be married, spiritually, emotionally, life stage. Okay, so that's one thing. The other thing, in that letter, or maybe it was in a later one, didn't Josh write something that reminded you of the proposal that Bill had given to you?
Yes, it was in the letter that he wrote to Bill about life purpose. And when Bill proposed to me, he asked me to be his wife and to raise a family to serve the Lord with him. And in the letter that Josh wrote to Bill, he said that something to the same effect. And it just gave me goosebumps to realize that here was a continuation of what had started with our marriage, that the Lord was taking it to the next generation. And it was just really, really exciting to see that, wow, you know, what God was doing.
Good. And the other thing I want to comment on is that you shared there is the timing issue. When Josh first came to me and said, I'd like to talk to Mr. Bloom about Karen, not one of his daughters, he was specific. And I told him to wait. And it turned out that was a wonderful and beautiful thing in God's timing, because if Josh had gone at that time, Karen, the series of green lights, the green light that really counted is the last one. I mean, they all counted. They had to be all green all the way, but it was at the very end that it really counts the most. And, I didn't tell any of that story, that part of it. What happened when Mr. Bloom met with Karen on that Saturday morning, as I recall?
Okay. Bill has a tradition of taking all the children out for lunch for their birthday, and his schedule doesn't always allow it to be on their birthday, and her birthday happens to be February 20th, and life was just busy, and he couldn't do it. So after he had told Josh that he would approach Karen, he said to Karen, I can't do lunch with you, but how about we go out and we do breakfast together? And so I managed to finagle getting myself invited along on that one, because I knew what was coming. And Bill wanted to be there, too. It wasn't a thing like that. And Karen didn't have any problem with it. She loves to have me along. So we went to one of our favorite little coffee shops, and we sat there. And Karen knew something was up, just the way her dad was acting. It was kind of funny. And then we get done eating, and he hands her this letter. And he said, a young man has approached me. And this was the very letter that Josh had given her dad the first time that they met. And she read the letter, and you see tears in her eyes, that she was just, and she knew who it was pretty quickly into the letter. But the first thing she said to her dad was, you have ruined my afternoon. Because our children and Josh's family, the siblings, they had planned to go ice skating together that afternoon. And she's like, now I have to face this guy knowing what's on his mind. But they did go skating together, and she said that our family got there, our kids got there before. Do you want to tell that part? Okay. Our family got there first, and they were out on the rink already skating when the Beale family arrived. And Karen could see that Josh was looking for her, and she was playing a little bit hard to get. And as Katie reminded me, she was doing this, and it kind of broke the ice. But I think that it really did kind of break the ice, that she was playing a little bit, you got to come find me business out there. And within 1 week or less, she was dead gone. I mean, we had totally, an entirely different daughter on her hands. She was just totally head over heels in love with him. And it wasn't that way a week before. So it was really rather incredible. And I will say that it was kind of hard on her sisters. Our girls are very close. And her third-born sister, Kimberly, took it rather hard. Well, actually, they all took it hard. I shouldn't say so. Kimberly just happens to be a little bit more emotional. Well, she shows it a little bit more. Katie internalizes it. Kimberly just lets it all out. But Kimberly verbalized the fact that, I think I'm going to make sure all my kids hate each other because this is just too painful. But now, you know, they've all come around, and it's, you know, it's really exciting to see. And just to watch them today, it's just, it's wow. I asked Karen, I said, have you guys had a fight yet? And she says, yeah, we have this one ongoing fight. She says, we're always fighting over who loves each other more.
Praise the Lord. Linda, Mrs. Beal, mother of the groom, would you like to share some thoughts? And, of course, siblings of the bride and groom, I'm going to ask you if you have some thoughts from your perspective as you observe the courtship and marriage of Josh and Karen. So, Linda?
Just my perspective on the whole thing.
Yes.
I kind of don't even know where to start.
So much.
It was just a blessing to see the whole thing unfold, to see the Lord, how He had saved them for each other and prepared the way, and thinking back, all the other choices that could have been made at different points that would have circumvented this, but how the Lord preserved them, you know, partly through Bosett's appearance and their counsels along the way. But two thoughts I have that are just kind of random. One is, I don't know if this is always true, but there were a fair amount of young ladies that were interested in our son at different points. And there were some level of friendship, Bray kind of alluded to friendships, but none that I ever got excited about as a mom. But with Karen from the start, you know, I just was so impressed with her. Just desire to serve the Lord. Oh, there's just all these things in her that, well, one is that she was desiring to come home and help her mom. She had a job, and she asked her father if she could come home. And that was just such a flip from what I saw in most young ladies who were dying to get out of the home and have a career. So that was a blessing. But I never in the whole process ever had a thought that this wasn't the one for Josh, which for me is amazing because I tend to be highly critical. So that's the one thought, and I don't know if the Lord always does that, but it was very confirming for me, you know, not that there was perfection, but just that there was this sense of peace and blessing that this is the way God's prepared. But another thing that I think both those sets of parents have experienced, and I don't know if this is worth saying now or not, but I guess Marcy alluded to it with the girls, but it's an adjustment when you have a really close family, and then when they're handed off in marriage and they're knit to each other, it changes the relationship to some degree, and it never is what it was. You know, like when the children were in our home, we know everything about their ups, their downs, their challenges, their life, you know, and then when they're married, that's found in each other, and you're a little more farther removed. And so that was sort of an adjustment as a mom, but all good. You know, that's, they need to be directly under the Lord and accountable to the Lord for their choices and decisions. It's just been a blessing to see sort of the severing of that relationship, but then the beginning of a new kind of relationship as they have been married just under a year. So, and we're also really blessed that they've embraced bearing children. There's not a lot of young people, I don't think, these days that have that as a desire to have whatever the Lord will bless them with. So those are just some random thoughts.
That's good. Thank you, Linda. Karen is the oldest of eight about the bearing children, and so she has watched her mom have child after child after child, and that's a generational testimony that has been planted in her heart. We only have four children. Josh is the oldest. He also, through the journey of our family, has landed at the same place. So it really is a remarkable thing. They were married 11 and a half months ago, and in a few weeks they're expecting their firstborn. So we're the generations are beginning very quickly. Well, Aaron, Josh's best man, and Katie, the maid of honor, are here with us. So I'd ask you both if you would have just some thoughts to share from the perspective of a sibling to Josh and Karen's courtship and marriage. Aaron?
Well, as you were telling the story again, and Mom was, I was reminded of the fact that observing what Josh did to me looked like it took a level of selflessness as opposed to selfishness. Instead of just doing his own thing and going after all sorts of girls and pursuing that, he sacrificed and spent time investing in his family and investing in me. And what that makes me think, I mean, I have to think that that is a quality that will count now that he has his own family and will have children, that he'll be selfless and sacrificing there.
Wow. Good. Thank you, Aaron. Katie, I know how you love to speak into a microphone.
Not really.
I really appreciate you sharing something, Katie.
Well, I was just asked about Karen and how she guarded her heart, and we're very, very close before the wedding. I mean, we're close still, but it's just different. Well, the verse in the Bible about taking every thought captive, she just kept giving those thoughts about Josh back to God, and, you know, if this is his will, he was going to bring it to pass, but she just kept laying it at God's feet and putting him on the altar. And just keeping very honest and open to the rest of us, and we kept her accountable, and that really helped. As far as my part, it was really neat watching it all, and very encouraging to see up close two people that were following their parents' authority very closely, and see how God rewarded them and blessed them. And that was really neat. And as a sibling, it was a little rough, and nothing could have been helped about that, but just being very close, it was hard to have that severed. But it's different now, but we're she's coming back down to earth a little bit. So things are getting better. It's just really neat to watch it all happen.
Okay. We've given everybody a chance to say something who would like to. I appreciate that. I would ask, are there any specific questions? And again, we're not a pattern to follow. We're just an example. We, through the years, have read various stories and teachings on courtship, especially as it compares to the modern American dating culture. We didn't have anything real specific set in our minds, except, in our case, as a father of a young man, that he would wait until he's ready before he began to single anyone out. And in God's providence, he only needed to single one out because the Lord had preserved Karen's heart for Josh, we believe. And that was because of Karen's parents in general and Karen's father in particular. So we're very grateful to Mr. and Mrs. Bloom, to Bill and Marcy, for how they raised Karen and how that was such a blessing to us and our family. I did want to honor any questions. If anybody has any questions, general or specific. Yes, Scott.
Actually, this is for the bride's mom. So she didn't know anything about this until she got this letter from Dad. Is that right?
Yeah, correct.
And that was the day they were going to go skating. Okay. Just a question for you. This is really with regard to the Bloom parents. You had a sense that this was probably a God thing in terms of Josh being the guy for your daughter, right? What if she didn't? I know this is a what if. But what if she received that letter and she thought, no, this is terrible?
As the microphone passes over to Mrs. Bloom, I would say that's why I told Josh you're looking for a series of green lights. He only got the first one from me and then from Mr. Bloom. But how would you answer that, Marcy?
She has the final veto.
Yes.
If she would have said no, we would have just dropped it right there. Now, it could be possible that the Lord could change her heart at a later time. But if she would have said no, we would have just let it go right there. Funny thing is, too, the week before Bernie and Linda approached Bill and I at church, Bill and I were out on a date night, and Bill knew that Josh was applying for this job at HSLDA, and he said to me, he says, what do you think about Josh Beal? And he was referring to, you know, thinking like maybe Josh would come looking for Karen. And I said, well, if that's what the Lord has, I don't think I'd have a problem with that. So it was really funny that the Lord had laid that on our heart before any of the Beals had approached us. So, but she would have the absolute final veto on it. I mean, she's stuck with him for the rest of her life. So, you know, even Dad approves of him. If she don't like him, that's, you know.
Well, I have to tell another Marcy quote. February 25th or so was Joshua's birthday, and so we wanted to go out as a family, and we invited the Blooms to join us. This is before, you know, any of this initiation had started. So it's just still the stage of two families among numerous families going out somewhere together to a restaurant for a meal in honor of Joshua's birthday. And so the kids were all sitting at one table, our children, I guess they're not all kids, little kids anymore. But Bill and Marcy and Linda and I were at one table. I forget who actually else was sitting with us. You know, it was Josh's birthday, and we were going around doing something we did traditionally in our family, which was give some words of appreciation on someone's birthday. I don't know if it was before or after we had done that, but so it wasn't, Marcy didn't say this to everyone at the table. It just kind of turned to Linda and I and said, you know, Josh is really odd. Yeah. And what she meant was unique, unusual, remarkable, that kind of odd. And we understood it that way. But it was, you know, that here's a young man who is under his parents' authority. He obviously has the characteristics that are well known for a firstborn, you know, entrepreneurial and a lot of drive and just a lot of initiative in this young man. And yet, that's initiative under the authority of his parents. In fact, I think I'll close with this, and that is, as we were, you know, the courtship began and then they got engaged. The courtship lasted, in our case, a couple of months. Didn't need to last long because the next thing after courtship is engagement. In other words, yes, we were going to plan to get married specifically. You know, this is far from any kind of fishing expedition. Then, you know, a date was set, and I guess that was about 4 months out. You know, a lot of planning for a wedding. But as we're moving towards the wedding, one thing I said to Josh, just a very simple and obvious statement, I said, Josh, you're not married till you're married. But once you're married, you're married. And what I meant by that, what I was driving at, is we were leading up to a point when there's going to be a change of jurisdiction. Until that time, he was under my authority, still in my home, and very direct input. And so we were very involved. But once we married him, as in Bill and I, two fathers, performed a wedding in the presence of many people, in the presence of God, in all godliness, then they, Josh and Karen, were married, and they established a new family. In relationship, in connection with their families that nurtured them, but a separate entity unto themselves. In fact, we reflected this on a little bookmark that we made. Linda and I were in full-time ministry, and we've always viewed our children as participating with us in ministry, so we've always done a family picture, as most ministry people do, and you know, send it out to people on our prayer team. But after Josh and Karen were married, then we had a picture taken with Josh and Karen as a part of our family. But rather than underneath of it saying the Beal family, singular, Beal family, we changed it. We changed it to the Beal families. Because Josh and Karen, now they are a separate family. Continue to be involved with us, but jurisdictionally, Josh accountable directly to God. Now we have still influence and will for the balance of our lives. However, a new family has been established. This is a beautiful thing in our sight, and we believe in the sight of the Lord. Well, if there's not another question, I'll glance real quick. Oh, yes, there's a question. Very good. Pass the microphone over. Yes.
Did your children ever question when they were a little younger, how am I going to know if that's the person for me if I don't have any one-on-one time with him? If it's always a bunch of big family and chaos, kind of, and how am I really going to get to know that person?
Well,
and our kids are a little younger, so,
yes,
you know, maybe that will just work itself out.
Yeah, several things. Linda, can you answer that, or at least begin an answer?
Yeah, I guess Josh actually did have those concerns when he was actually at Ed Fonte's, and there was a girl that was interested in him there. And I guess what happened was, you know, we just towed the line, and he kind of, by watching other relationships, and he kind of learned from experience that it wasn't the best thing to do, you know, that it was defrauding emotionally. It could lead to heartache. I mean, even if you're staying morally pure in a friendship, when it's too singled out, the hearts, especially of the young lady, often get defrauded. And so we just explained that to him, and he realized it was true, basically.
And that kind of experience, I think I would say, grew Joshua's faith under the influence of his parents to believe that in God's timing, the Lord will bring the right person along. I remember hearing David and Abby Cox share their courtship story, and when David was a young man, they'd driven across the country, and he realized, wow, what a huge country. Boy, if my wife is out here, future wife is out here anywhere, I'll never find her. I guess God's going to have to do it. And that was a young man, a little boy's faith. I think David was in, you know, the 12, 14 range, something like that. An amazing thought for a young man to think. Well, with Josh, we had an analogous kind of experience that he had to grow his faith into this, because if we were asking him to stay home. We were asking, this was more the 18, 19 kind of an age, and he was married at 22. And we asked him to stay home, not go away to college. It was different than most of the people we knew, but we just had this sense of we weren't done discipling him. I wasn't done discipling him. And so to go away would interrupt that. Later, Josh consented to that after prayer and fasting. This was not a simple thing. And later we found out that before the Lord, Josh felt that if he obeyed us, and that's what God wanted him to do, if he obeyed us and not go away, that would probably mean he would not meet his future spouse. That would probably mean he would never get his college degree. That would probably mean he would never get into his career track. He would always be behind. And so, almost like Job, he made a sense of, well, Lord, I'm going to obey you by obeying my parents, do what they're asking me to do, even if it means I miss out on all these things. Well, the beautiful providential irony of the Lord is that God provided all of those things amazingly above and beyond what any of us had expected. Central to that is Karen. Because if he'd have gone away, he'd have gone away from where Karen was. Now, at that time, he wasn't thinking about Karen. It was, you know, then years later, and time went by. But it was an amazing thing that Joshua's faith in what the Lord could do grew to trust the Lord that he didn't express doubts after a time that the Lord could bring into his life or bring into the circumstances the one that would be his future spouse. Linda, do you want to add something to that before we close?
Just, I think another thing Josh learned over time, and we did as well, is you can really learn a lot about a person by how they interact with the other people in their family. If you have them singled out and they're just paying attention to you, I mean, that's almost a misrepresentation of the wholeness of the person. How do they relate to their mother, their father, their siblings? When you're in a sort of romantic relationship, things are distorted. You can't really see things for what they really are. So before you let your heart go there, is the time to really more objectively evaluate the person. And until you're ready to be married, don't let your heart go there, because it'll be defrauded if it's not time yet. And that's just something the Blooms were so good at. It's another rare thing, I think, for a young lady to hold onto her heart the way Karen did. I mean, she really didn't single anybody out. And that's why Josh, until he got the yes, wasn't sure if she was going to say yes. I think part of that is how her father took her out when she was 13. And, you know, she learned to trust her father as, you know, having God behind him, but being the authority in her life. And she also had this high level of openness among the siblings. And they all were coaching each other all the time. I mean, they read each other's email. There was no private emails or anything, so no chance to slip up there. So that's how Katie was kind of talking about that. But.
Okay, thank you. Scott, you have another question. Aaron, could you get the microphone over to Scott? Thank you.
Real quick, Bernie, you mentioned green lights. Did you identify other green lights? And secondly, the courtship was over in 2 months when there was a decision to marry.
Yeah.
Were there indicators already established for marriageability? In other words, what led to the determination that, yeah, this is going to be a marriage?
Okay. I wish Bill was here, because I had the feeling that after I gave the first green light, I was not completely out of the picture, but I had passed off. So I was just the first one. So once you pass one green light, you're not looking back to see if it's staying green. You're moving ahead. So the next green light was to be from Bill and Marcy together. Bill, he actually went online and found a some website with a list of questions to ask a young suitor for your daughter. And so he came to one of those first appointments with Josh with this many pages of printouts of questions. And Josh was like, oh my goodness. But Bill didn't ask all the questions, picked out the ones that he thought were relevant. So he didn't have a number of questions. But then after it was a green light between Bill and Marcy to Josh, then that's when Bill went to Karen, and just as you identified in your earlier question, that was the first time Karen knew anything. So there was this honoring the integrity of a process to guard Karen's heart. And as I've heard Bill and Marcy talk about it from other young men that had come to Bill, about Karen, that were, as now I have a new quote from Marcy, courtship is not a fishing expedition. So Bill had turned them away. And then, of course, Karen did find out about it later. I think they shared it with her or something. And she was very appreciative. You know, thank you for protecting me and guarding my heart. So that's what was going on for looking for this series of green lights. So I guess it was really just three. Me, and that would be in concert with my wife. And then Bill and Marcy, you know, Bill in concert with his wife. And then the big green light, and the one that ultimately, you know, is the showstopper, and that's Karen. And so she gave the green light for the courtship, which, because our families had been together, and as Linda pointed out, they had seen each other in the context of their family and how they relate to one another in the family. We'd done, even with other families, done some ministry things together, singing in a retirement home, that kind of thing, being in church together, those kinds of things. The 2 months, in some ways you could say, well, that's pretty short, but they knew each other a lot. As I read some background materials on the writings that people have done on courtship, you know, they said that's one of your big variables. If they don't know each other well, then there will need to be perhaps a lengthier courtship, and it may be because it's even somewhat long distance. We were not attending the same church.
Yeah.
Linda, do you want to add a thought?
And then that same list of questions, I'm pretty sure Bill gave for them, like he kind of gave them some guidelines for their initial deep, moving deeper kinds of discussions, you know, as they're getting to know you better. And they worked largely down most of that same list. It was a long list of questions, and pretty much we're on the same page, you know, all the way through, which was very confirming for them. And then one thing they did, which is a little bit intimate, and I'm not even sure if there's a place for this outside of a courtship, is they shared what the Lord was teaching them. They spoke scripture to each other every day. They would each be reading different things, and they would share what the Lord was teaching them, and that knit their hearts and confirmed that they were on the same page spiritually. I think there was very little doubt, so I think by the time I think Karen was like ready maybe to be engaged a little bit before. She was kind of wondering when it was going to happen. It's like, okay, we're ready. So that's just how it was for them.
And we had scheduled our families to go on vacation together. And the first night on vacation on the beach, Josh and Karen went off by themselves for the first time. And we could see them in the distance on the beach, but that's where Josh had a ring, got down on one knee, and asked Karen to marry him. I would point out that both Josh and Karen are firstborns. Therefore, they went after, like a type A personality, went after the challenge of courtship. So it wasn't just, oh, let's just go play and have fun. It was, let's ask each other serious questions. This is a lifetime commitment. This is the second biggest decision of life. The biggest decision, who are you going to serve? You know, your Lord. The second biggest decision, who are you going to serve with? Your mate. Yes, Linda?
I've noticed that, as you said, their first time alone, he's serious. Like, every other time they were together, there was a sibling with them. And, they remained under the family's authorities. And on our side, we weren't totally comfortable with them being alone in a car, even just to drive somewhere. And on their side, they weren't totally very comfortable with leaning on the shoulder and some other physical touchy type things. So both of those things were in place. It's kind of like the lowest common denominator. And, you know, they honored us, and they're grateful, I think, for it. But it wasn't easy.
I mentioned David and Abby Cox earlier, a young couple in our church. They spent time with them and got their story and their experience. And that was good and healthy and godly influence in the body of Christ. But after what Linda just said about you not being alone in the car together, not even being kind of touchy, you know, leaning on each other, so not holding hands, not kissing, obviously. So I think when you hear that, you can understand what I said to Josh. You're not married till you're married. But when you're married, you're married. And so there's a defining point. And that's why the marriage ceremony is so beautiful and so powerful. And for the, you know, I think there was 500 or so people there, and you know, a significant percentage of them are homeschool families with younger kids. And they were there to do what we were doing as well, to witness something as a testimony to the goodness of God in our family's lives. So we were very thrilled with that. Okay, well, I think we're out of tape.